Hello and welcome to The Money Men. My name's Julian Valance. And for the very last time this season, Ben Clifton from the Sportsbet Trading Floor. How are you?
Yeah, good. Great day racing on Stradbroke Day. This is the big day in Queensland. It didn't disappoint. Some promising horses. Zaki reinstated how good he is. And yep. Genuine Cox Plate favourite, and I think the track raced really well on Saturday.
It did. We're going to talk about the track. Thanks to Vince Arcardi for sending through his time so we can punch him into our database. Track's come up, as we've spoken about. It's coming up rating, obviously, a little bit slower than the old Eagle Farm, so we move on from that, but it's definitely raced as a good track. They seem to be getting off the fence. Benny, you were happy with that sort of premise?
Yeah. I'd be forgiving of horses on the inside there. There were a couple of horses in the market that were stuck on the inside and you just couldn't win from there. And as we mentioned on Insider Trading, as the day got on, they just kept getting further and further off the track. But some jockeys didn't seem to really get the memo and get out there. There were some jockeys who were willing to stay to the inside, and like the last five races, you did not want to be there.
Well, we'll probably talk about it a little bit later, but it comes down to jockeys are good jockeys because they do the work and they seem to get horses to go.
There was one jockey who – we've talked about J-Mac and Jamie Carr as yep. jockeys who can get horses to go to levels that they haven't been before. There was a jockey on Saturday who was getting horses to do that, and we'll get to that.
Yeah, no doubt. He was outstanding. C. Williams is his name. I'm assuming you're talking about, unless yes, you're going to talk about right. someone else, that's going to be a little bit of a problem. Let's get to race one. 3/4 of a second inside standard. They have clipped along here. 23.9 for 12.42, so a little bit soft last 400, 200. But Mao Tawai, look, it was very good at Ipswich. You spoke about it on Insider Trading that it was an outstanding performance. It was 3/4 of a second inside standing coming home last 400, 200, good. 3.60 into 2.90, then just a little bit out to $3.30. But the market sort of wanted to be with that horse. But they also wanted to be with the winner here. The market got this one bang on, spot on. 11 into $8.50. Now, that $8.50 when we went to Insider Trading comes into $5.50, heavily supported. They're the two they want. They run the Quinella. I think the black booker here is Mao Tawai. And the reason I'm black booking it is because we seem to, as a industry, as a group, want to always black book horses that are low percentage players. We want to black book the horse that is the flashing light. Well, at the end of the day, we know the high percentage players, the horses on speed. That's what Mao Tawai is going to be. It went out fast. I thought, it, as you mentioned to me, you thought it got probably barbecued. Geez, I thought it was brave.
Yeah, the pivotal move in this race wasn't to do with this horse. It was Warrior Hero coming across and putting pressure on Mao Tawai. Brad Stewart kicked up and it just took off a little bit too much on him and gave a huge kick on the turn. And it was hard to lead all the way on the day. So huge effort by Mao Tawai, and it just didn't pan out on the day. But I don't think there's any doubt that this is a horse of considerable promise. Uncommon James, it was on the back up. Maybe that was a key to it being off the map. It didn't rate as well as Mao Tawai did in its maiden win in its previous start, but it did have a little bit of scope. I was worried about it going from 1,000 to 1,200 metres, but it wasn't a worry in the run. But I marked it about $9, so I missed it, and it started $5.50.
I think it's worth noticing.
A lot of the pros wanted to back it on.
They did, didn't they? Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned, I think, on Insider Trading or before we went to air, saying that every man and his dog were on it. 6/27, O'Day Hoisted going at 22%. They're probably a training group up there. I know we move off and we don't do this show anymore, but for those punters out there that are betting in Queensland, they're probably a camp you can follow with a little bit of confidence.
Yeah, definitely. Very solid camp, yeah, for sure.
Race 2, 1/4 of a second outside standard time, so only moderate tempo here. 23.2 to 11, I think 9.4, which is the best last 400, 200 of the day. There's a bit in this race because, well, I don't know what it is in terms of going forward. We can probably just say Kementari, I think, turned it up. I know he was wide, but it was a slowly run race. He had every opportunity. He does what Kementari does.
They were entitled to run the quickest last 400, last 200 a day. They went out very slow early. It was a messy race. Even on paper, you had a look at this race and you're just like, this is yuck. This is yuck. You had Delphi, who we didn't know enough about to know what it would do. It was a bad ride on Delphi. There was no speed in the race. It jumped well and he just stuck it out three wide. Jim Byrne was wasting to get down to the weight for Apache Chase in the Stradbroke. I don't think he was on his A game on Saturday. But, like, what do you do with these horses? They go around.
We know them, don't we? Yeah. I mean, Kingswell Dream goes to retirement, so well done on him and well done Connections for getting him back. He's been a great horse, but he's gone. Profit's not a wait for age horse. We spoke about that on Insider Trading. Rainy Air with Bowman, Dry Track. He goes back to his best. He's $9.50 into $6. Market has to go to something. And Mr. Seawolf, I mean, you can catch him on his day, but this is what this group is. You catch him on their day. I don't want to be backing them.
But how do you know it's their day? That's my question.
And this is my point. So you can't back them. Yeah. Here's my point. They're 1 out of 8, and they'll win impressively, and you'll go, this might be the making of them. It doesn't happen.
And you just got to hope you're on them. Because you can't, you'd be an absolute genius if you know when it's their day because they're the same horse in essence, aren't they? Yep.
First 1,000 metres, 2 seconds slower than race seven. So that just goes show that they deserve to come home. Good last 400, 200. Not much to take out of the race, to be honest, going forward.
No.
Race three, half a second inside standard. I think there's a horse to take out of this race. There's no doubting that. 23.78, 12.14. Look, only fair home, but they've gone really quick here and he's put his hand up. He is a serious Group 1 horse and he has put the number on the table right here now.
You said only fair home. They got home pretty well considering how fast they went out. And I was a little bit cold on Ayrton on Saturday. I marked it $2. It starts $1.80 on the exchange, which is a pretty good guide. I just didn't like its last start, but you reckon there might be some.
Well, I think SD spoke about it on Three Wide No Cover probably a couple of weeks ago, saying that he had to travel by road. I think it was a 20-hour trip. I think they went halfway and then they had to go half again because obviously the COVID situation. So that was the excuse. He put it out there, I thought, on Saturday. He's put, for the punters out there going, oh, well, you know, what actually has he done? In terms of our stuff and his numbers, it's a Group 1 performance. Group 1 number.
I was cold on him from last start. I didn't know the issues about the travel, but he needed to put this marker down. I love what they've done with the preparation. They've gone up to Queensland.
Son on his back.
Yeah, son on his back. He'll probably spell up there. But they've given him some travel. He's got nowhere to hide when he comes back because he goes to the big time now. But what he's putting down in terms of times and that, he's a Group 1 horse. They've got to pick their way through, find the right races for him. And his distance range is going to be the interesting one, what races they target.
Well, he was very good at 1,600, I thought, on Saturday. It was a brilliant time what he's ran. It seems that 2,000 will be fine for him. But Mick Price has come out and said the Golden Eagle's the race. Now, we know it's a diluted pool because it's just for four-year-olds. I'm not a person that bets early into futures because it's a way to burn your money. There's no doubting that. He wins the Golden Eagle if he's there fit.
If he gets there in one piece.
That's the thing.
Just on the second horse, Ellsberg, that was a good effort.
Yeah, he's a good horse.
He was caught wide, had to work around him. It was a day that was hard to lead on, and you see how quick they went out early. He kept battling on. He's about fourth run into the campaign, whether he needs to go for a spell now because he's getting deep into the campaign. We talk about Gerald Ryan and Sterling Alexia. Their horses deep in a campaign. They normally go better first and second up. If he goes for a spell, he can come back. He can win some decent races.
Yeah, agree with that. Race four was over 3,200 metres. It was the Brisbane Cup. Standard time, look, they went out even, 24.56, 12.80. So over 2 miles, you expect them probably to come home a little bit flat, and they came home the worst last 400, 200 identified in the red. Oh, I think it put the writing on the wall, this horse, $4 into 2.70. Got a little bit soft late out to $3.60. The money came for Carriff for $5 into $3.70 after being put up 3.40. It runs second, but I think we spoke about it on on Insider Trading that this horse is going to go forward and be hard to run down, and that's exactly how it played out.
It was on the back up Gay Waterhouse up in Trip. They're hard to get past, but the betting was interesting. We had pros lining up to get it back this horse at 9 a.m. on Saturday. Got in as short as $2.70.
Yep.
Back out to $3.60 at the jump, and I can't understand that push against it.
Is it possibly, we spoke about it as well, as maybe the Eagle Farm leaders sort of thing, they want to take them on a little bit. That can be really the only reason because other than the fact that you're going, well, it's never been to 3,200 metres, these other ones weren't stamping down numbers in that previous start. There were holes in that race, weren't there?
Well, and yeah, a horse like Rondinella needs a bit of tempo on, needs a bigger field, needs to be down in the weights like it was in the Sydney Cup.
I think it also needs a soft track, but I know I'm on my own with that. You continually say it's a dry track. It's not.
I'm not saying it's a dry track. I just didn't think it was purely a wet track.
Yeah, like I'll tell you what,
Lord Belvedere, the money for it surprised me. It's not going good up there.
Yeah.
Its biggest figures are at Flemington over the 2,500 metres. I think you can probably follow it once it comes back to Melbourne, maybe has a spell, gets to its right track and distance.
So Knights Order wins a Brisbane Cup. What can it get to in the spring?
That's nowhere near any of the top level stayers. These are Group 3 horses at the best. This is a Group 2 race.
Win a Jordan Cup or something like that?
I don't know if it'll win it. It might give a good sight because, the
Brisbane Cup winner can't win Geelong Cup, says Ben Clifton.
If the internationals come over, how much better are they?
Oh, no, I've got no doubting. I'm fully agreeing with you, but it's got to – I think it's more than
– We haven't seen a lot of this horse in Australia. Yeah. And it hasn't it hasn't done a lot wrong. Maybe it does have another level in it. What did win impressively on Saturday, but, to win a Melbourne Cup, you have to be an absolute top-notch
absolutely. Stayer. We've seen that. Race five, half a second outside standard time. So it was not a hard tempo. 24.88, which was the worst last 400, I think, of the day, and 12.52, only fair home. think there's a bit in this in the fact that Zaki wins the race. Forget about the rest. They're never going to get anywhere near him. He rates down from his Doomben Cup win. There's no doubting that. I think the big talking point out of this, and the punters have to understand, and so that's why we've made it a punting tip here, is the market trusts what it did last start. So this horse has started at $1.26. Now, to put that in perspective, to horses that, yes, forget about the rabble that it was running against. It's starting at $1.26. The market has stamped it as that number is a true number that they're confident with, and they're happy for him to do it. Now, we don't see too many horses starting at $1.26 in essence, Group 1 races, by Caviar, Winx, those kinds of horses. Zaki put his name right into that.
I was talking to you during the week about this. I was sitting at $1.50 all week. I'm like, this has to firm up this horse, given the rating it did at Doomben. But it did regress back to that Hollandale rating that it did. But if it gets to the Cox Plate in one piece, it's going to do that rating it did in the Doomben Cup. If
and that's what the market's telling you that it's going to do. I think that's the key factor for the punters out there.
And I'm sure they'll time the preparation right. She knows what she's doing with this horse. J-Mac will be following this horse. You've got the best jockey in Australia on it. If it gets to the Cox Plate in one piece, and it will be awfully hard to
back. That's a really good point you mentioned here, because J-Mac is going to have the option of Very Elegant.
Right,
as well.
That's right.
So
good point.
I think there's a bit of narrative around the fact that who would you choose, narrative versus Zaki? For me, it's one-way traffic going Zaki. What would you do?
Yeah, Zaki as well.
Yeah.
It races a bit closer on the speed as well. And Very Elegant sort of...
She's a superstar. She's a very good mare.
She's had a couple of seasons at the top. This is the horse who's progressive, who is still on the up. I think Very Elegant doesn't have any more improvement in her.
As much as I love Very Elegant as a horse, Very Elegant's not starting $1.26 in that race on Saturday.
She's too quirky.
Yeah, that's what the market is doing now with Zaki. They have stamped him as a serious, serious superstar. And that's what I'm just talking about the market. So he might not come out and live to that. I'm just talking about what the price will be with this horse going forward. That is what he's going to be.
If he resumes over 1,400 metres in the spring, is he a complete moral weaver over 1,400 metres?
I think he will never get beaten again.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll go to a break.
We'll be back after the break. We're going to talk through the Group 1s, the Stradbroke in particular. Welcome back to The Money Men. We are dissecting Stradbroke Day from Eagle Farm. Probably had to come off the fence, obviously, we were talking about rail out 4 metres. Let's get to race 6 here. Slowly run race here, Benny. 3/4 of a second outside standard time. 23-2-1, 12-02, last 400, 200. They came home pretty good, but they deserve to come home pretty good because they didn't go very hard in that first section. Oh, Superium. I put him in the trash last start. And
he deserved to go in there.
Yeah, I know.
He was now terrible last start.
C. Williams has got him to go. $12 out to $16. The market didn't want to have a bar of him either. What do you make of the race? Because Garibaldi, market wanted to be with it. 370 into 280, 280 into $2.60. Gate one, probably the difference there because he accelerated really well, but he was going nowhere.
Oh, we'll start with Garibaldi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was in the wrong part of the track. And you could see the acceleration in his legs. He really let down. And unfortunately, Timmy Clark didn't have any option.
No.
He stuck to the rail and he wasn't beaten that far at all. So, I mean, it's getting deep into its campaign. I don't know where it can go from here if there's another race for it, but it's a good horse. They've got to pick the right races. And if he draws it further out and out where Superium is, who knows, you know, the result might be different. But Superium, he munched the punter's money last start, but Craig Williams goes on board, drops in weight, gets a soft, your theory that soft tempo for these back markers keeps them in touch, and
absolutely,
it's got the superior sprint, but it was a bit of pill for the punters to swallow, I think, with it coming over the top.
I want to get your thoughts on away game. So first up here, I don't know where this horse goes, three-year-old filly, obviously, 7.15 to 4.20. So the market's suggesting she was going to get back to that two-year-old form where I think she ran fourth in a diamond, second in a slipper. She runs okay third. Maybe goes to the Tats Tiara over 1,400 metres. Can she be competitive?
I think so. That must be the reason she's in work at the moment. And I think she can be competitive because that we'll talk about the mare's race later in the day. It didn't rate all that well. Yep. There's a few queries over some of those mares and they're sort of the leading chances. I know Savatiano's also going towards the Tats Tiara as well, but she's a chance. I don't know. She's not going to be one of the leading chances. She might be a $15 shot in a race like the Tats Tiara, but she offers that alternate form line that a lot of the other horses aren't coming from.
Yeah, it's a good point. And she'll put herself on speed, so she obviously becomes a high percentage play. Race 7, it was the first of the group ones. It was the JJ Atkins. 3/4 of a second inside standard time, 23.82, 12.14. Pretty good for how quick they went out. Oh, this horse has stamped itself as a serious racehorse. I'm going to go through a couple of horses that have won this race and where they've ended up. Converge, heavily supported, 360 into $3. I got him a little bit wrong. I marked him 420. I thought there'd be a bit of a swell for a few other horses. There wasn't. He just brained him.
So you like this horse. What level can he go to?
He is a he'll win a lot of it. I think he'll win some Group 1 races at 3-year-old.
So he's going to be a leading contender in a Caulfield Guinea,
absolutely,
do you think?
He should be. He should be. I don't know what. I actually haven't looked at the market, so not due diligence on my factor. He should be a clear favourite, I think.
So they've sort of stumbled upon this horse in the fact that they had to go back from the wide gate last start and it absolutely flew home. They rode it quiet again today on Saturday, and it seems to have given the horse two or three lengths, I think, because they were riding it up on speed, which the Gaywater House Adrian Bott horses generally do and generally hard to go past. It was going pretty well in that racing pattern, but it just seems to go two or three lengths better ridden cold.
Animo's the other probably two-year-old now coming three-year-old that the market will probably gravitate towards.
I'd backpedal now, mate.
I reckon, no, this is a better horse. There you go.
There you go.
So we're going to go through a couple. Rothfire won this race last year. He could have been anything. Obviously got injured. He put a massive number in the run to the Rose, stamped himself. Prince Farwaz, I think, was a very good three-year-old after winning this race. The Autumn Sun was outstanding. I know he probably was beating up on not superstars, but he was very good. And Sacred Elixir has also won this race, ran second in a derby. These horses have the ability to win this race and go on with it. So I think this horse fits that profile perfectly.
Seems a platform race for sure. Yeah. What about the betting on Port Louis?
It was off the map, wasn't it? $4.60 into $3.10, and that was probably in the last 10, 15 minutes, which was huge, to be honest. He puts himself all the way back.
He does. Huey wasn't looking to get to the outside for some reason. He ducked back into the ground, which was two or three lengths inferior, I think. I don't know if he thought, I'm trying to save ground because I'm not going as well as Converge. But the market is suggesting he's as good a horse as Converge. You look at the yep. three times they've met, he's been right around where Converge has been in the market. Can he come back a better horse next time?
I think he, you know, when we talk about two-year-olds becoming three-year-olds, it's this huge gulf in essence. Some horses just fall off the cliff as two-year-olds. They're really great two-year-olds. Probably a way game mode to fit that and then obviously come back to the three-year-old and it just doesn't work out for it. Port Louis is the opportunity to probably really grow as a three-year-old and become a really nice horse. But Converge is right there now. We've seen what he can do.
What about any of the Beaten Brigade? Giannis, that was a horse that I identified before this campaign. That was a JJ Atkins horse. It sort of hadn't done much up until Saturday. It ran okay, but it's 3.5 lengths behind Converge, yep. and there's a lot of ground to make up there, isn't there?
There is. And look, they can through this gap, they can make the improvement and obviously go through the jump out of the trees to become a really good three-year-old. And maybe Giannis can do that. But at
he's still a maiden, so he can go back in class. And
what price would you take him in a maiden?
Well, I'll tell you what I took $15 in the early markets for the JJ Atkins and he started $37. So
you take you play in the pointy end, you'd take $1.30, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. Particularly over 1,200 metres and beyond.
Correct. Quarter of a second inside standard time for the Stradbroker was race 8, 24-2-8, 12-4-0, last 400-200. Well, what do we make of this race? Tefani, she won an all-age stakes over 1,400 metres. She gets back to her best. C. Williams in the saddle. I mean, he just was outstanding, obviously, on Saturday. We'll talk about him. But Vega 1, I thought, was an outstanding ride, but just found one better.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Vega 1, because my theory is it jumped too well. It jumped in a length in front.
Is that possible? Is that possible to be done?
Yeah, it is. For a horse who's as fickle as it in that... Yeah. Tony Golan talks about it a lot, that it's only got a short sprint, needs to be covered up. And we saw last start with Jamie Carr, by luck or skill, was held up to the last 100 metres and sprinted over the top. But it got exposed too early. But if you're backing these horses that need to be cuddled up to that 100 metre marker, they're not really betting propositions. But what did you think about Rachel King against Craig Williams in the last 50 metres?
Well,
did they make it? Did the strength of the jockey make a difference?
I think Craig Williams is an outstanding jockey and he lifts this. He throws, as you mentioned, you say it a lot to me. He goes, they throw them over the line and they actually do. And we talk about this a lot, that a lot of people don't give jockeys the credit they deserve. Good jockeys are for a reason, good jockeys. They get horses to, as we call it, go. They get them to go. And I think he did that with, especially over the last 100 metres with Tefani. She did nothing wrong on Vega 1. She rode it an absolute treat.
But her strength as a rider is her balance in the and her soft hand. So she gets it to relax. Her strength isn't in a driving finish against Craig Williams in a Group 1, is it?
No, it's not. And I will say, though, if Vega 1 is on the back of Tefani, I don't think the result's any different. As you say, Vega 1 needs to be cuddled up and, you know, gets that split late and can accelerate. She couldn't have ridden it any better.
No, she couldn't. She did. She did a great job, and you know, she has won Group Ones before. She's a good solid jockey. She's not in the class of Jamie Carr, but she's a good jockey.
Yep. Let's get to the last race because we're going to talk about this race a little bit because I think it's important because it gets to the last Group One of the racing season. Tats Tiara will be talk on that in 2 weeks' time. Half a second outside standard time, 23.32.11.96. So they've zipped home last 400, 200, very good. What do you want to take out of the race? Obviously, the winner is Brooklyn Hustle, who comes more or less looked like a travelator, to be honest. Craig Williams goes, this is where I want to be, and this is a horse. Have you mentioned plenty of times it needs a soft tempo. This is its best because it's got such a great turn of foot. You don't want it in a fast run race because, I'm telling you, it doesn't produce its best. Slowly run race. She comes home fast. She got the results. Can she win a Tats Tiara?
She probably can. Mm. What do you reckon?
I think she probably can, but I don't think there's much between all of these.
Well, that's right. I was worried Jamie Carr going off this horse because she got it to go last start. But as I mentioned at the start of the show, Craig Williams is not far off that J-Mac, J-Carr level of jockey who can get horses to do ratings they haven't done before.
Yep. What do I want to take out of the race? I want to take Odium out of it.
Okay. It
was off 2 months. I think it's the Black Booker because it was off 2 months, draws terribly, it's wide. There's a little, and it carries 58 kilos, so it carries the full penalty for a three-year-old. Goes to the Tats Tiara, it's a weight for age race, it'll carry 55 and a half versus the older mares will carry 57. I think it's going to be really well placed. There's one caveat on it. I need James McDonald to stay on it. James McDonald stays on it, can win the race. James McDonald goes off, and it's not Jamie Carr going on, and it's not Craig Williams going on. I'm worried about her.
Okay.
Keep J-Mac.
Coventina Bay for mine.
Okay.
Stuck on the inside. As we talked about Garibaldi, you could see it accelerate. It accelerated. Just stuck in the wrong part of the ground. It kept finding the line. If it can draw a wider gate, I think this New Zealand mare has got some ability. She showed it with a Group 1 placing last time in New Zealand. Trialled up well before this race. I think given how even they are, if she can get the right run, she can win a Tats Tiara as well.
That's really good for the punters because after this race, Odium obviously was clearly well found and ends up, I think, second or third in the market. So market trends towards it. Coventina Bay was actually pushed out.
Yeah.
So that's a great one for the punters.
There was as much merit in that run as anything else in the race.
That's really good for the punters out there. Tats Tiara, Benny's saying Coventina Bay, she ran second behind Advantage. So she's a really good mare. She might be a chance in the Tats Tiara. I'm with Odium. We'll be back after the break. Trash and Treasure. Welcome back to the Money Men. Trash and Treasure. I'll start. Trash, Sweet Deal. She's been a very good mare, but I think going towards the Tats Tiara, I think she had an opportunity on Saturday. I thought she was disappointing. I don't think she can win the Tats Tiara. I'd be going around her.
No surprise with mine, Kimentari. He turned it up in the last 100 metres, didn't he? I'm not a huge believer in horses turning up, but he definitely turned it up on Saturday. He did.
Let's get some positive news. Let's go Treasure here, Converge. I think he made a statement on Saturday. It's a good horses race. I think he'll end up winning a really good Group 1 as a three-year-old.
Craig Williams, for me, I think he might be a quarter of a length off J-Mac and J-Carr at the top level of the Australian jockeys for mine.
He was outstanding on Saturday, wasn't he? Horses under the min here, especially in Metro grade. We talk about it at Victoria. We did a punter education a couple of weeks ago. We're going to go back, get our socials to put that out. So a bit of pressure on the social boys. It's just an asset.
Wet tracks.
Oh, absolutely. 4 from 9 winners at Sandown. They were off the map. Sir Callahad as well, $21 into $5. Among other horses like Mr. Mooge, Zipping Boy and No Effort, they're the four winners. It's just a big, big asset over the winter months. Production crew, thanks very much. We're going on a break now. Ollie Jones, outstanding every time. Nath John gets us here with a sensational effort. Ty does our graphics. Jace, the sound guys. And Ian. Craig's really
Ian.
Good.
Mate.
No, Ian. Oh. Ian. Thank you very much, boys. We appreciate it. You get us through. We are an absolute rabble without you. So thank you very much. We'll be back after the break. I think we're going to be doing the Wink Stakes. See you then.